We've got a special session on tax reform coming up that starts next Wednesday. Joining us now to talk about this, he will join us every Thursday throughout the session, Jason DeQuire from Advantis Consulting. How are you, man?
Hey, good morning, Brian. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty darn well. How far along are we in the process of having bills written that are going to be ready for Wednesday? I know debate has actually already begun because, you know, committees have not stopped meeting and whatnot. There's been a lot of background work put into this upcoming session, but where are we right now?
Well, Brian, in all seriousness, stakeholders, people are out there reviewing the bill drafts, and, you know, they're trying to decide if they're more tricks or if they're more treats in the package.
Well,
that's
played.
About all I got for a tax guy.
That's well played on the Halloween reference.
They got to get these bills filed probably by tomorrow. Mm-hmm. We know we've got Election Day. We got the weekend. A couple of governors ago, I was involved in the process of doing tax reform, and I can tell you the staff is going to be working around the clock. The fiscal office, it's not going to be a weekend break for them at the Capitol. They're you know, putting the fine touches on the package. You know, they put out an early draft, they made some revisions, and they posted a second draft of bill based on some of the feedback. And then even with this second set of drafts, they're continuing to get feedback and unintended consequences that they're discovering. And so they're making some final touches and in a posture to hopefully file the bills where they can mitigate some of those unintended consequences and have some serious discussion about a holistic, very ambitious plan to, rewrite our entire tax structure in Louisiana.
We're talking with Jason DeQuire from Advantis Consulting about the upcoming session on tax reform. Jason, I got to ask, I'm hearing a whole lot about multiple things being combined together here. It's going to take a whole lot to get this done. And it feels like it's not necessarily an all or nothing approach, but unless a big chunk of everything gets passed, we're going to find ourselves to not have really got anything done here. Are you seeing where things are being thrown out in bulk, or are we going to see a lot more single item legislation in the hopes that everything gets passed?
Great question. And one I get often. There is no doubt they are going to start the process by introducing the package as a whole. There will be no tax type that would not get changed, from personal income tax to corporate income tax, property tax, which is embedded in the Constitution, severance tax, and then a whole overhaul on sales tax, plus eliminating the franchise tax and even diving into the incentive programs and some of those things. So, you know, as I talk about this, there's no individual stakeholder business group that would not have some form of impact based on the changes that are being made. But the idea is to introduce the package as a whole. Remember, one of the things that they're attempting to do here is improve our state competitiveness ranking.
Yes.
The legislature is very familiar with the Tax Foundation scorecard. Up until 2021, when we did some reforms, we were closer to the bottom five. Those reforms allowed us to get into the bottom 10, mm-hmm. If you will. And this plan is so ambitious that if you passed it on its face, the administration said they've had the Tax Foundation do kind of an early score. And obviously there will be changes. That's part of the process. But if it passed as is, we would go from 40 to number 8. That just tells you how broad sweeping the changes are, with all the pieces of the tax structure being impacted. However, if you don't, it's not contingent upon everything passing. There is some what I call severability in the package. A lot of the property tax stuff that they want to do, we hear a lot about business personal property tax, i.e. the inventory tax. We hear a lot about ITEP. We hear a lot about that, how property is assessed in Louisiana. All of that is being moved out of the Constitution and into statute. And then there is a companion bill that would accompany that statute and rewrite all that stuff in the Constitution and statute. That would require Article 7 and that constitutional amendment to pass March 29th.
Right.
And if that piece doesn't pass, then you probably will not get a lot of the property tax provisions enacted. It doesn't mean that you couldn't still broaden the sales tax base, lower corporate income tax, get rid of the franchise tax, lower the personal income tax. All of those things can be done by statute. It's primarily the property tax pieces that would require the constitutional amendment. And then keep in mind, it's not just improving our competitiveness. Brian, we're still sitting on a deficit for this fiscal year, and that deficit right now balloons to about $340 million for fiscal year ending in 26. And if the 0.45 doesn't get extended, you know, that deficit, which they're talking about, could be, you know, nearing $800 million. But as the package is written today, the governor, the administration, and revenue department is planning to renew and extend that 0.45 permanently. If that were to pass, obviously that would alleviate some of the budget tensions that we have today.
We're talking with Jason DeQuire from Advantis Consulting about the upcoming session on tax reform. Jason, can I play devil's advocate on the sales and service tax expansion?
Absolutely.
When you talk about things in terms of moving us from 40th to number 8 overall for our tax environment, that's awesome and that's great. But when you talk about individually increasing or adding new services to be taxed, if I'm a legislator, I am beholden to the people who voted for me or the people of my district, right? If I'm adding 40 new services that are now going to be taxed, I've got 40 different business owners in my district who are going to be in my ear to tell me to vote no to this because it's going to affect them and their business directly. How do we walk the balance of saying, on the one hand, this is going to be good for us all, but we're all going to have to take a little bit of a hit here. And then on the other hand, having somebody whose cage is getting rattled, whose cheese is getting moved.
Yeah.
You know, you see the balance here?
I do. And it's a great question again. And that is one of the complications of tax reform. You know, when you broaden the sales tax base, you're putting more pressure on sales tax and our sales tax collection administration system, which, you know, Brian, that's one of the areas that needs to be improved. And, you know, we score still the worst in terms of, you know, our sales tax administration system. Not only that, you potentially are now going to be bringing a lot of new businesses into the fold that have never had to collect sales tax before. That is going to be a huge educational exercise, and there are going to be challenges therein. But when you talk about the kind of swap is where we're going, and the way that this is being presented is, and I think I heard prior to me coming on some of the talking points that the governor had in his press conference. Mm-hmm. You know, the thought here is that on some of these services, you know, individuals and consumers have choices to make, and whether or not they want optionality, whether they want to purchase those in exchange. And there's no doubt that would generate more revenue for the state of Louisiana. But in exchange, the trade-off is, we want to be able to reduce your personal income tax as well as your corporate income tax and eliminate your franchise tax burden. And in order to do that, you know, they have to pay for it some kind of way. And in this package, they're proposing to broaden the sales tax base, not just to services, but to digital goods, and to eliminate many sales tax exemption. So the sales tax portion, no doubt, is where all the money is to pay for the other buy downs to get us to one of the lowest personal income tax rates in the country, one of the lowest corporate income tax rates in the country, and then not having a tax on the capital or assets that people would invest in Louisiana, known as the corporate franchise tax. But again, people are going to go to the ticker and, you know, and do the calculations and do the math. And just like this package will have impact on individual parishes and local governments in different ways, each business, each industry type, businesses within industry will be impacted differently. And so will individuals, depending on where you fall in that spectrum.
Got a couple minutes left with Jason DeQuire from Advances Consulting. I say a couple minutes left, but you're going to be with us all session long, which is awesome because questions keep popping up along the way. One of the ones I got hit with yesterday when it comes to the expansion of sales and service, and I realize I'm spending a lot on sales and service this morning, but it's the questions that come to me, I'm just relaying right to you.
That's where a lot of them are coming, Brian. There's no doubt. That's where a lot of the questions are stemming from.
If the state is going to look toward, let's use Netflix as an example, right? I know that was one of the ones that was tossed out there. If the state wants to impose a sales tax on something like a service like Netflix, like a digital a streaming service or whatnot, can local municipalities do the same thing?
So the way the package, it's not even can they. The answer is in this package, they will. So one thing to keep in mind, which is a great question, that when you add these new services to the base and when you add digital goods to the taxable base, which I completely understand why you're doing it with digital goods. Everybody else in the country is. These are items. Many of these are in consumer items that were once taxable in its tangible form. Now that they're in this digital form, our sales tax code is just so antiquated and out of date, it can't capture this. The way our sales tax code is set up, it's either one of the eight services that we tax, or it's got to be tangible. And if it doesn't fall into one of those buckets, then it's not subject to sales tax. But with all these items that they're adding to the base, the important thing to keep in mind is that they will be taxable at both the state and local level. So assuming that the 0.45 is extended, it would be 4.45 at the state rate. And then you would look at whatever your parish rate is, and on average, it's about 5, 5.5. And that's how we get to the highest sales tax rate in the country. When you combine the two, it's us in Tennessee that compete for the highest sales tax rate in the country. And there are places within Louisiana that the parish rate is so high that when you combine it with the state rate, it is the highest rate in the country. They just take an average of all the parishes and their rates and get an average and combine it with the state rate to determine what our overall rate is for purposes of rankings. But no, these items will absolutely be taxable at the local level as well. And that's part of what this package is trying to do. It's trying to push more revenue down to local governments in exchange, as you know, they are asking them to exempt some items like exempt inventory, which is revenue that would be generated to a parish, exempt prescription drugs at the local level. The state does not tax manufacturing machinery and equipment, but it's at the state only level that exemption. They're also asking them to exempt those items. We're very manufacturing industry heavy state and feel that this would continue to entice more of that investment. So this is a whole trade-off between picking up new revenue sources through the sales tax base, but then being asked to exempt some revenue in other areas.
Does that mean, and I know we're running long already and we're going to miss ABC News here at the bottom of the hour, but does that mean that, like, let's say Hulu is going to have to deal with every different taxing entity within the state unless we consolidate into, you know, one centralized sales tax collection?
That does mean that, and then that, again, that is one of the barriers of doing business in Louisiana, that each of these parishes can interpret these definitional things differently. It's not just, hey, one interpretation and everybody follows it. Each parish has the ability to go in and audit and interpret these things differently. So that is going to be one of the complicating factors. The hope and what I'm hearing is that if we can get this package passed, that maybe in one of the next sessions we can then move towards centralizing our sales tax collection system, which is going to be desperately needed when you're putting this much pressure on the sales tax base and asking those businesses to try to figure out a way to collect on these items.
Well, if we could back into our way in a centralized sales tax collection, that's an added bonus to this whole thing, because I don't want the sheriff of DeSoto Parish jamming up my Amazon Prime.
No, that's right. No, I completely get that. And look, there's going to be a lot of education needed.
Yeah.
The department is going to have to work with local governments and make sure that we have clear definitions for a lot of this stuff. And also think that they're looking at a safe harbor provision. So as we are figuring this out and as we're doing our best to collect and remit, we're not getting hit with interest and penalties in the process, particularly when we just didn't understand the rules of the game yet.
Well, I'm going to need a little added tax on the whiskey it's going to take to get me through this thing. He is Jason.
I'll join you in that.
Absolutely. He is Jason DeQueer from Advantage Consulting. We always appreciate the time. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, Brian.